Psalms chapter 46. Psalm 46. This passage has come to mean a whole lot more to me since living in Ireland. You see, throughout this passage and throughout the Psalms, David over and over and over again uses terms that we would understand what they mean. Terms like my strong tower or my fortress, my deliverer. We understand what they mean. But when you understand a culture and understand and you're standing inside of a castle and you understand that this was the place the people ran to in place in times of attack, it helps you understand a little bit more about what David is talking about in some of these passages. So we're going to look at Psalm 46 this morning. I'm going to read just a few verses to get us started, and then we'll go from there. Starts out, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. Now, there's a story of a Prussian king, Frederick the Great. And he was widely known, I guess, at the time as being an agnostic. And he had a general in his army who was one of his most trusted officers, a born-again believer. And so the king was having this event, and in this event, people were in this drinking event, really, feast. The people were getting drunk, and the king began to curse and put down the name of God. And the stately old general, after a while of this, finally stood up. And he addressed the king this way. He said, "Sire, you know I have not feared death. I fought and won 38 battles for you. I am an old man and I shall soon have to go into the presence of one greater than you. The mighty God who saved me from my sin. The Lord Jesus Christ, whom you are blaspheming. I salute you, sire, as an old man who loves his Savior on the edge of eternity." As the story went, the place went silent, and the king, with a trembling voice, replied, "General, I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon." And the party ended. You know, today we serve an amazing God, a God who is able to create the whole world just by speaking it. And we know this. We've heard the stories, if you've grown up in church, from a young child. And Satan is always trying to get us to believe his lies. And his lies are sometimes extremely deceptive. Things like, God doesn't really care about your prayers. God doesn't really care about you. If you're anything like me, I've heard those lies of Satan. So when I read these verses of God being a strong tower, our fortress, our deliverer, it reminds me of these castles in Ireland. So I'm going to talk really briefly about castles, okay? So now castles vary greatly, of course, but some castles will have a moat, okay? So your first line of defense is a moat or some type of river or some waterway. Then sometimes they'll have what's called a curtain wall. That's a smaller outer wall. You have your defenders on that wall. Then inside, you might have the inner castle, so it has its walls. And then inside of that, you have the keep. The keep is the last place of defense. It's that strong tower on the inside. Incorporated in your castle are things like murder holes. They're designed to do exactly what they sound like. It might be a place where they poured boiling hot oil on you. It might be a place where they're shooting arrows at you if you happen to get there. The castle was designed totally for the people inside. The staircases would normally go clockwise. And you think, why clockwise? Well, back then, all soldiers were right-handed. They believed if you were left-handed, you were pretty much a witch. and you didn't make it, okay? So you're right-handed. So try swinging a sword going up a spiraling staircase that way. It's very difficult. I mean, you're doing one of these kind of. You're not getting a good swing in. On top of it, the steps are what they call tripping steps, which means they're different heights and different depths. So if you don't know the castle, I've tripped on them, you trip. And if you're on your face on a stone staircase, you're not fighting the guy defending the castle. It was all about defense. And you know, when God uses these terms in the Bible, he's our strong tower. He wants to be that one we run to in times of trouble. Now, I know for you guys sitting out here that you never have troubles in your life. And so I'm just talking to myself. All of us have troubles, right? And sometimes when things happen, we don't know what's going on. Many times we don't know. And maybe we will never understand why God allowed something to happen. Another thing they use over there is something called undermining. Undermining is digging under the walls, either A, to get to the other side, or B, it's to collapse the wall and so you can go right through. It was all, and by the way, isn't that what Satan wants to do? He wants to undermine God's word. He wants to undermine the church. He wants to destroy our testimony. He wants to get us to fall. Satan is constantly trying to do that, so we have to be on guard. But I want you to know that God has put us in this world with tools he's given us. And one of those is perhaps the thing you're holding in your hand or on your lap, the Bible. God has given us his word, the Bible. And so often I think we fail to use it as it's designed. God has given it everything. You know, I know he doesn't talk about COVID-19 in the Bible. But there are things, verses throughout Scripture that address every issue there is. Principles we can take from the Bible that will apply to everything. I remember as a kid, my mom was really big into us memorizing the Scripture. And I remember, and my memories, I know some of you guys are looking at me going, already? Yeah. But my memories really started to get bad in the last 3 years. And I am so thankful that I memorized Scripture when I was a kid. Because it's so much easier. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Another thing God has given us is prayer. Our sending church back in eastern Pennsylvania, there was a dear older lady. She's in heaven for about 10 years or something like that now. But I'll never forget, on Sunday nights, they used to have a testimony time there. And I remember this dear old lady. I mean, it must have been at least 2-3 times a month. She'd get up and share the same verse every time. It was Jeremiah 33:3. And I can just imagine her in her frail old voice. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That was my dear old lady voice. And I remember her saying, it's God's 911. And I remember her saying, you never get a busy signal. And we know that up here, but sometimes it doesn't make it down to here. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is there? He wants to hear us. The Holy Spirit. If you're a child of God, the Holy Spirit is here living inside of you. You know what I find amazing is Jesus said, but the Comforter, this is John 14:26. He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. In 16:7, John 16:7, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. In other words, it's best that I go away, that the Holy Spirit comes. Isn't that a little hard to understand? Can you imagine the disciples going, hold a minute, Jesus, you're right here. I mean, you're doing these miracles and all this stuff is happening. How can it be better for you to go away and the Holy Spirit to come? I think at times the disciples are scratching their heads going, what are you talking about? But folks, if you're a child of God, you have the Bible. You have prayer, the red phone, straight to heaven. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. How amazing is that? So what are some things that bring uncertainty? Well, in verses 2 and 3, it says we don't have to fear. It says that the earth be removed, that the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. That is some earthquake going on there. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. So diseases might be something that scares us today. Maybe loss of income. Maybe the death of a loved one or our own death. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's spiders. Maybe it's flying. Have you ever flown with somebody and they are scared to death of flying and they're gripping the seat? And you're like, if they were a little stronger, the seat would be squished, you know? Children's safety. Maybe it's we fear the consequences that will come if our kids make bad decisions. It's hard as a parent because you realize your kids are going to make their own decisions. You can't make them do what you want them to do. It's tough. But I want you to know that, look at verse 5. God is in the midst of her. He's talking about Jerusalem. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. It's an interesting fact I was reading. Now, I haven't studied it, but according to what I was reading, Jerusalem has never had an earthquake. They have earthquakes all around, but Jerusalem has never had an earthquake. I don't know if that's true or not. That's what I read, said. And I thought, wouldn't it be interesting if that's the case? There is God protecting his people in the midst of trouble all around us. Do you ever feel like trouble is all around you and you think, which way is up? And you have a problem so big you don't know what to do? I've been there. Many times. I'm sure every one of you have been. And there are times, there are problems in our life when we think, what are we going to do? I want you to know, folks, God is not up in heaven going, oh, no, I don't know what I'm going to do about this COVID thing. Look at, I mean, did you see those lockdowns? How am I going to get missionaries into that country? Did you see the trouble that's going on in Texas? Oh, no, I don't know what I'm going to do. Do you see what's going on in Washington? Oh, no. God is not worried. God is not up in heaven scratching his head trying to figure this one out. God is still God and he's sitting on the throne and he knows what he's doing. And when we go, oh, I don't know, God's going, it's okay. I got this one. You can trust me. Whew. If only I can keep telling myself that and fully believe that, right? Sometimes if you're like me, it's like, oh, God, I know you have this. Hold on a minute, what about that one? Okay, God, that's right, you have this. Oh, and you keep on picking up problems and you keep worrying about it. Maybe it's just me. And I have to constantly keep throwing that back on God. I know you have this. Help me to trust you. Our response can be a number of different things. Maybe you're a person that when a trouble comes, you just, I don't know how else to put it, but freak out. Okay? You just, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe you're the person that, like some of us guys, we just want to fix it. Our wife comes to us with a problem and we will fix that problem. And she doesn't want us to fix it. She just wants us to listen, but we want to fix it. Maybe it's call someone. You just need to know what's going on in my life. And that might not be a bad thing. Sometimes we need to talk to other people and all, but sometimes we run to people and we forget this, run to God. And I think of what happened to Elijah. So think way back to probably one of the most famous stories with Elijah. Here's Elijah. He's on top of Mount, there on the top of the mount. And he's against all those prophets of Baal. Okay. And he has this amazing victory. Right. God sends fire down, burns up the sacrifice. And there he is. He watches all this happen. And he's there with his servant. He begins to pray for rain. God sends rain. He outruns the king's chariot. I mean, wow, amazing thing after amazing thing after amazing thing. All this happens, right? He gets down to the town, and Jezebel says, by tomorrow, you are going to be dead. And if you're anything like me, you look at it and go, didn't you just see all that God did? Why are you running? Because the next thing he does is he runs for his life. He is scared. But before we get too hard, how often have we done that? How often have we seen over and over and over again in our lives God do amazing things? I have seen God do modern day miracles. And yet, a problem comes up and I go, oh, I don't know about this one. God, I hope you can fix this one. When, who are we talking to? We're talking to the amazing God with all power. And so often we can be a little bit like Elijah. And when a problem comes, we've gone through amazing things with God right there with us. And yet, just like that, something happens and we run in fear. So here's Elijah out in the middle of the desert. And like, he's just given up. He said, I'm the only one left. And remember in all that, by the way, God says you're not the only one left. There's 7,000 others who have not bowed their knee to idols. But remember what happens. God sends this windstorm. There's a fire. There's an earthquake. And God's not there. How does God speak to him? In that still, small voice. And as I travel around to churches, I have young people often on that come to me and say, how do I know what God wants me to do? And one of the things I tell them is remind them, you have to have opportunities for God to speak to you, because God can, but many times he can speak in loud ways, but many times he speaks in that still small voice. And we have so much noise in our lives. The little electronic device that's on our side. You know, how many of you guys have been having your quiet time and ding, 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 or whatever your little thing is? I wonder what that is. I wonder if that's a Facebook post. I wonder if that's an email. I wonder if that's important. And suddenly, you're not paying attention at all to what God has to say. So now my phone's either off or it's somewhere else because I don't want to be distracted by that little whatever thing going off. Get quiet. Get still before God. Give him an opportunity to speak to you in that still small voice. Praise him for who he is. Folks, when we get our eyes off of the problems, think of Peter. Here he is walking on water. We give him a hard time, right? Oh, Peter, always sticking your mouth and your hand, your foot in your mouth. You know, like doing dumb things, Peter. But here he is walking on water. How many of you guys have walked on water recently? I haven't, just going to say. So here he is walking on water. He's okay. Everything's going good. Until, as the Bible says, he takes his eyes off Jesus. He sees the wind and he sees the waves. And that's when he gets in trouble and he begins to sink. That's exactly what happens to us. We take our eyes off of Jesus. We look at the circumstances. We look at the problems. And suddenly, we get in trouble. I think of the old hymn. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see? There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. So, folks, when things seem to be getting crazy and out of control and you don't know what to do, I want to give you four things to do. Number one, I want you to remember that God has a plan. God has a plan. He is not worried. He's not trying to figure this one out. He's got it. From before time began, he knew about COVID-19. He is not surprised. God's got a plan. Number two, he's in control. He's in control. Number three, he is a strong tower that's not just there for looking nice and a decoration. He is that strong tower he wants us to run to. He expects us to run to. If you were in Ireland, this is a couple hundred years ago, and you got attacked, you're going to run to the castle. You're going to run to that tower. You're going to run to the place of defense to be safe. And that's what we're to do. We're to run to Jesus. He is there for us. And number four, we can trust him. Look at verse 10. It says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Father, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you that when things are tough and we don't know what to do, that's okay, because you do. Thank you that we can run to you knowing that you not only know what's going on, you not only care about what's going on, but you have a wonderful, good, and wonderful, amazing plan for us. Help us to trust you. Help us, Lord, to just rest in you and to run to you with our problems.